Hello, hello, and welcome to Lord Others. Hello, Nitin, say hi.
Hi, Tony, how are you doing? Here we are going into episode 2.5, episode 3, episode 2.
Yeah. 3. We are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, YouTube, and wherever you are listening to this on, maybe even YouTube Music.
This is what is called exponential growth, right? Because this is the third edition of the podcast that we're putting out, but technically it is episode 2, because for some reason we decided to do pilot, which is episode 0. So 0, 1, 2,
correct.
We are actually progressing in Fibonacci, kind of, right? So 0, 1, 2.
The next... No, it would have been 1.
Yeah, but in whatever, it's okay. Take a little
whole bit numbers, of basically.
Take a little bit of artistic liberty, whole numbers.
Oh, okay, fine. Fibonacci.
Yeah. So if we are actually Fibonacci, gnocchi, then we are not leftover lasagna. We are a different type of pasta, no? Gnocchi. How do you actually pronounce that thing? Gnocchi. I don't know.
Gnocchi, gnocchi.
Gnocchi, Fibonacci. All right.
Galyan sankali soniachi. Ipori konachi. It is a,
Kayali
I
Pulao.
Think it's a Marathi song, but you've heard this. I'm probably like singing it really badly.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that.
Hey, let me see if I can play it for you. So I think if I'm not mistaken, our Marathi listeners will correct us. Pori is like girl. Ki Pori Konachi, I think, means who is this girl?
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Fibonacci, Gnocchi, Hi Pori Konachi. Yeah. So
I was just going for the simple low-hanging joke. Lasagna is all about the layer, but Fibonacci is all about the liars, which is you and me, since it is Fibonacci, right?
Ooh. Oh, like that. Okay, like, but let's get cracking. What are we talking about today?
So we are going to talk about cliches. So this episode is about cliches. Leftover lasagna is about any topic under the sun that captures our imagination. And this week it is cliches. So take it away, Tony Sebastian. Sure. Take it away is a cliche. So that's what I was going for. But yeah. I don't know.
Hey guys. Is hey guys a cliche?
Hey guys.
Every YouTube video starts with hey guys. What do you think about that?
Yeah, is that a cliche? Yeah, I guess it's a cliche.
It's a cliche because, like, whenever my daughter is trying to record a video, she always says, hey guys, that particular tone, right? And I'm like, what is this? Like, quickly, tell me, what is the difference between a stereotype and a cliche?
Wow. I have a more basic question. Can you define a cliche for me?
Let's start with the origin of a cliche, right? So, stereotype in French is a cliche, and both of which comes from the printing press days, right? So
stereotype is a French word.
No, cliche is French for stereotype.
Ah, okay. So they mean the same. So the English word stereotype means cliche in French.
Think so. So both of them come from the printing press industry, right? So when you had to basically reproduce, the same image multiple times. So cliche is basically an onomatopoeic word. Onomatopoeia, famously, when a word sounds like what it is. So when you like dip the damn thing in whatever it was supposed to be, it made like clicking sound like a cliche, cliche, cliche. That kind of sound, they call it a cliche, basically.
That's what she said.
Yeah, so it's basically when you reproduce the same thing over and over and over again. Where do the terms uppercase and lowercase come from?
Also from the typing activity, I would believe, but I don't know what.
Yeah, typing, the printing press, where basically you had to put molds for each thing that you're doing.
Right?
You basically had two draws, and the upper draw would have all the capital letters, and the lower draw or case would have all the small letters, hence uppercase and lowercase. So when you wanted to find A in caps, you would open the uppercase and take it out, and so on and so forth.
Nice. I can feel my brain growing as we're having this
discussion. Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool. I don't know.
What do you call a stereotype in a corporate world?
A straight jacket.
No, it's called a marketing insight. Because when you want to advertise to multiple people at the same time, a stereotype is a useful way to go about it.
True.
And therefore, I guess cliches actually do serve a purpose, right? Like when you want to cut to the chase, but also want to be cut to the chase. There you go. But also want to be artistic about it. Use a cliche.
Interesting. But is it really artistic? I mean, if everybody's using it and you're also using it in the same style, it is just there, right? It's not really serving a purpose. It is the opposite of artistic. It is very utilitarian, is what I would say. So, without further ado, let's go into our list of cliches.
I got it this time.
The format of this episode is going to be that both Tony and me are going to share some of our favorite, or rather most revived cliches, the ones that really get on our nerves. So I'm kicking it off without further ado, which means without wasting any more time, which I find fun because whenever people use the phrase, whenever people use the cliche without further ado, they have actually already wasted a lot of time. The only time I see people using without further ado is at the start of speeches or, you know, welcome address kind of things where, you know, the master of ceremonies is trying to sort of introduce the chief. They'll go on and ramble about the chief guest achievements for about 2 to 3 minutes without revealing the name. And then they will say, without further ado, let me now invite XYZ to the stage. I'm like, yeah, all the ado is done. No, can't do more.
Yeah, but you missed the next cliche that follows. Please put your hands together. Without further ado, please put your hands together.
That's a good one too, yeah. But you know what is the funniest thing? So in my past life, I used to be a cricket journalist. This was just before the 2011 World Cup. And before the World Cup is when a lot of these journalists try to launch books, etc. Because cricket is suddenly even more so in the popular conscious. So there was a book about Tendulkar, which was, I think, written by Suresh Menon, if I remember right. And the book launch event. So I was sent to cover the book launch event by Cricinfo at a hotel in Bangalore. And I think Kumble was there, Dravid was there. And I think one of them was the chief guest. There was another journalist, not Suresh Menon, and I don't want to name him, who was sort of like the master of ceremonies, right? And he was doing exactly this. He gave this long winded spiel. Everybody there was a cricket fan, so everybody knew that he was talking about Kumble because Kumble is sitting there and he's not talking about 10 wickets in an innings, bowling with a broken jaw. Okay, man. No,
can you guess?
And then he says, without much further ado, it's like, don't send him away. Goodbye, said this stage. Without further ado. And I was like, I grew up reading this guy writing, you know, in the Hindu or wherever he was writing back then. And what a terrible, terrible welcome address.
But good point. So your reason why you hate this cliche is that not only is it something that is repeated many times.
Yeah.
It accomplishes the opposite of what it's originally setting out to do.
A cliche that accomplishes exactly the opposite. So it, by the way, comes from the phrase much ado about nothing, which is a Shakespeare. And a lot of cliches, by the way, go back to Shakespeare. So the origin in that book, Much Ado About Nothing, it is when someone is overreacting and makes a big deal of fuss over something unimportant, which, by the way, is the exact opposite of the context in which it gets used in, you know, as we are talking about, because Anil Kumble in that situation was not unimportant. You actually need to hype him up quite a bit, right? So please put your hands together has my sympathies. You know why?
Why?
What are the other ways in which you could say that? You can't say, please clap. I can say, please applaud. Please, I mean, I can't beg you to applaud, right? Like, applause has to come naturally. And if people have not yet started applauding and you need to cue them to applaud, you need to give them an out where you also don't look like a fool, like begging them to clap, right?
Okay. No, so but if you use it like seven times back to back in the same evening. Then
oh, for each clap. Yeah. Like,
not each clap.
Oh, again, put your hand together.
No. The MC is going to come on multiple times, right? So they usually mix it up with, you know, please put your hands together and then be... Please give a loud round of applause.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, that
let's have a big hand. And
oh, you're a king of clapping cliches.
I'm a king, yeah. I used to do all this MC nonsense back in Kerala. Right?
Another thing that MCs can do is they can start clapping. That's a great way to cue the...
Yeah, no. Nah. But we've grown up, you know, at least...
I haven't.
You and I have grown up watching WWE, right? And like this... And off late stand-up comedians. So how stand-up comedians do it in open mics is basically, you know, please give it up for our next performer, Nathan Sundal. So like a mix of, you know, WWF announcement and like something else.
That can work. If nothing else works, shout. Yeah, that'll definitely get people. Warm the cockles of people. Anyway.
Yeah. The prepared stuff I was always good at.
I was terrible at that.
When it was like my turn to try some kind of open mics or stand-up comedy or something, and like the audience wasn't very receptive, and then you're like, fuck, they're not laughing. And that's when like
But you will like all great artists, you will be recognized after your time.
But the point is,
people 10 years after your death, people will be like, shit, that was the joke he was cracking. Put your hands together.
Wasn't even appreciated his own time. No, but the point
Okay, so time to move on to your cliche, first cliche.
Yeah, my first and most annoying cliche is you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Ah.
You know why? Because it makes no sense. And he has a fun... What does it mean?
So, you're aware of the great other banana joke, don't you?
Yeah, for our non-Tamilian listeners.
Yes, so let me now narrate this joke. We will obviously put in the clip as well for our non-Tamil listeners. So, Sendhil and Countamani are two famous comedians who work together as a pair. And their most famous comedy sketch from a Tamil film was when Countamani asked Sendhil to buy two bananas and sent him to the shop with 2 rupees. And for 2 rupees, you get two bananas. Sendhil goes to the shop, actually gives him 1 rupee. For 1 rupee, you get two bananas. Sendhil goes to the shop, pays the rupee, gets the two bananas, feels hungry on the way, so eats up one banana and then comes back to Countamani and gives him one banana. And Countamani asks him, this is one banana, now where is the other banana? To which he replies, this is that banana. So Sendhil, in this context, actually was having his banana and eating it too. Because he had one in his hand and he had already had one as well. And I think the cliche is very self-explanatory. You actually can't do that unless you are Sendhil. I think that's what it means.
Yeah, no, so since you brought in a Tamil banana joke, which everyone knows, in fact, it is probably a cliche, you know, at this point, to bring up the other banana. There's also a podcast by this name, among several other things. But there is a Malayalam comic strip called Bobanam Moliyum. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's basically so, and like it's really, really funny, especially if you can like understand Malayalam. There is actually a Bobanam Moliyum movie which aired long ago, and like in it they've basically been asked to, so there is obviously a banana plant. Not a, how many times does a banana plant bear fruit?
This must be a trick question. Just once, is it?
Just once. So you get one full what do you call it, bunch, not a bunch, a big cola, as it's called. I don't know what it's called. Like the whole, have you seen the whole of the thing, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so you get one. So like they've been, Bobbin and Molly, who are like brother and sister, have been sent to sell this banana bunch, right? Huge bunch, maybe about 100 bananas, and bring back money, right? And they're like, for your expense on the way, here's 50 paise, right? And they ask like, how much are we supposed to sell the banana for? So they're like, 10 bananas for 5 rupees, or each banana is 50 paise. So they're walking, and Bobbin first is holding the thing, and Molly's like, look, I have 50 paise, why don't I buy a banana from you? And she gives the 50 paise, takes one banana and eats it. And then now he has the 50 paise. So he's like, look, I have 50 paise, why don't I buy a banana from you? And basically they eat up the whole bunch of bananas and return with 50 paise. So that is the less heard, more intelligent Malayalam banana joke.
Well, more intelligent.
So where
only
they
one
having
banana
their,
was went unaccounted for in the Tamil joke. The entire bushel.
So they were literally having their bananas.
Bananas and eating them too.
But I'll tell you what is most annoying about this phrase is that the original version makes so much more sense, right? Which was, you can't eat your cake and have it too. As in like the order
the
ordering. Matters, right?
The order matters.
Yeah, but then someone somewhere thought it was better to change the order of this phrasing and make it, you can't have your cake,
have your
and,
cake
eat
and eat it too. I blame Shakespeare.
It
must be him only. So yeah, it's not particularly irked me though. I can see why it irks you, and I never thought of the ordering issue before. Maybe because I've been exposed to the Tamil joke, I sort of never had a problem understanding what this one means. We are like well trained in these matters. Yeah, it's a good one. I'm okay with have your cake and eat it too. I don't use it. It, you know why it doesn't irritate me too much? People don't think they're very smart when they use it either. If people use it, they're actually using it to, you know, to actually use a cliche in a utilitarian way to get out of trouble. Rather,
oh, really? Okay.
Unlike when they use, say, vaccine eloquent, where they think they're being, you know, very smart.
But I'll tell you what does irritate you about that, though, is the fact that you shouldn't be eating cake anyway because it's all sugar, right?
So yes, please refer to episode 0.
One, 0.
Yes.
A few hours later.
So Nitin, what is the most apposite thing that can happen on a podcast recording about cliches? It is that we have to re-record the entire second half of the pod because we forgot to hit record.
So we podcasters use Zoom these days when we are sitting in different rooms or different cities and trying to record a podcast. The beauty of Zoom is that it allows you to record your video conference. So you have the entire video and audio recording files at the end of it. There's just a small trick.
Provided you hit record. Yeah.
There's a button, a record button that needs to be clicked. This reminds me of a joke from Seinfeld where, so Jerry Seinfeld's neighbor is, of course, Cosmo Kramer, who comes and loafs around in Jerry's house all the time, with or without his presence. Jerry's has one of those, automatic lock doors where you just shut the door and it locks, right? And Kramer once comes into his house, leaves the house without shutting the door, and hence the door is not locked and the house gets burgled.
Look, Jerry, I'm sorry. You have insurance, right, buddy?
No.
How can you not have insurance?
Because I spent my money on the Clapco D29. It's the most impenetrable lock on the market today. It has only one design flaw. The door must be closed.
I think some of our listeners will agree that this podcast would actually have been improved by there being no recording at all. This should be a feature. Please don't record.
So going into my second least favorite cliche. This is a good segue into my second least favorite cliche, right? So a segue is like Schrodinger's cliche, right? So because it completely defeats the purpose of using a cliche, which is to try and accomplish something elegantly without really gathering too much attention to it, pointing too much attention to it. A segue literally means a smooth transition. The very purpose of using a segue is because you want to take people from place A to place B and you don't want them to realize that they have moved. And much like that record button or that door with a lock, the trick to a good segue is to not let people realize that you're actually doing a good segue. But the cliche, this is a good segue, accomplishes exactly that and it kills the segue completely. So, and hence it is my favorite cliche. It's like playing hide and seek. You find a great hiding spot. You're so proud of the hiding spot that you're repeatedly shouting it out to the seeker until he hears you and finds out exactly where you're hiding. So you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah, so your first cliche and second cliche are actually similar because you hate them because they accomplish the opposite of what they're trying to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
So interesting. But who didn't make a smooth segue?
Exactly.
Was the inventor of the segue.
Not the inventor of the segue. The person. So Jim Heseldon was the person who bought the company Segway, and this is Segway, which our young listeners probably don't know what we're talking about. So Segways were these mobility vehicles. I think the first generation of e-scooters, which was like this raised platform on a big turntable type wheel with a raised handlebar, and you could, bending your body this way and that, leaning forward and back, you could actually transport yourself on that. Pretty cool looking thing, which seemed to be becoming extremely popular before we moved to more conventional designs of e-scooters.
I think now sports cameraman perhaps will use it or no?
Probably.
I've seen the occasional one on a cricket field. This had a race platform and a turntable. And what happened to our friend Heseldon?
Heseldon was this big rich businessman who acquired this company in 2009. On the morning of 26 September 2010, Heseldon was riding his own Segway and he was walking his dog when he actually reversed his Segway to allow a fellow dog walker to get past him, and he fell from a nearby cliff into the river Wharf and he died. So he did not...
How the turntables.
You could say that he did not make a very good segue into the afterlife because it was a very cliched way to die for the person who owned the company Segway.
Oh, to use basically a cliche, but also a reference in Ice Age. He was basically dead as a dodo, right? If you've seen Ice Age and how the dodos die, basically they just all like
Plop,
someone
plop.
jumps off a cliff and all of them follow.
Yeah.
So yeah, our friend is dead as a dodo
The
to
other thing about
bring in
Segway,
the
the
cliches.
brand, is that they created a lot of confusion about the spelling of Segway, the cliche, because a lot of people started spelling the two words interchangeably, right? Which again
Right,
really
right,
ruins
right.
a good Segway. You're dragging even more attention to a Segway by even spelling it wrong, not just by pronouncing it
Yeah.
uselessly.
You know what my most favorite and hated example of this is obviously there's a phrase, by the way, which is shortened to BTW,
By the
but
bye.
people see BTW and think it is between,
Between.
and
Yes.
so they say between when they say by the
By the way.
way, when they
Yeah.
mean by the way, but they say between.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, this is like a lasagna of epic proportions.
I've also seen people use BTWN while they're typing on messages when they actually mean by the
Yeah,
way.
how
Where
is
is the N in by
possible?
the way? There is no N in by the way, right?
No, but they think it is between, and they think between, by the way, means the same, which it
Yeah,
doesn't. No, but then like it's like the word preporn, right? Which has now been added to the dictionary. Like enough, if enough people use it, then it becomes useful, and that's literally how language evolves.
I
But
agree with you.
segue and segue,
Yeah, Virendra
yeah.
Segway, aggressive batsman. Yeah, over
Don't
to you, Tony.
forget Master Segway in Kung Fu Panda. Is
I
it
shall not.
Master Segway? Master
Ugwe.
Oogway?
Master
Oogway.
Ugwe only. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, turtles.
Okay, so Tony,
Yeah.
regale us with your next cliche.
So my next cliche is that there are in total in the world only seven plots for stories, right? And every story since then has followed a kind of plot. And the seven stories basically are Overcoming the Monster, Rags to Riches, The Quest, Voyage and Return, Comedy, Tragedy, and Rebirth. Right? And examples of some of these, Overcoming the Monster is like Dracula, Star Wars, Jaws, Harry Potter, James Bond, all of these, right? Rags to Riches, you can think of several, Cinderella, Aladdin, Great Expectations, Gold Rush, Prince and the Pauper, all of these, right?
Yeah.
The Quest, so many, starting with the Iliad, all the way to Monty Python and the Holy Grail with Raiders of the Lost Ark in between. I think Lord of the Rings follows the same thing, all of that, right? And Voyage and Return, starting with the Ramayana, Lion King, Gulliver's Travels, Peter Pan, Epic of Gilgamesh, etc., etc.
Technically, even
Comedy.
Mahabharat, right? Because those people also go into hiding and then come back.
Oh, yeah. Not a hiding to nothing, though. Yeah.
Sorry.
And then comedy, which is defined as a light and humorous character with a happy or cheerful ending. A dramatic work in which the central motif is a triumph over adverse circumstance, resulting in a successful or happy conclusion. Examples include Much Ado About Nothing, 12th Night, Four Weddings and a Funeral, The Big Lebowski, you name it, all of these. Tragedy, the opposite, basically the whole of Russian literature, I'm guessing, starting with Anna
Yeah.
Karenina, Romeo and Juliet, The Picture of Dorian Gray, Hamlet, all of these things. And Rebirth, basically, when a main character often finds a way to become a better individual, like A Christmas Carol, and Groundhog Day, which actually has. Is that a cliche when like the same day keeps repeating itself, much like this second half of the podcast recording?
Groundhog pod.
Except we haven't become better in the second iteration. I feel like the
Is we are doing Groundhog Day, but we're becoming better human beings in the process. That's all counts.
Oh, this maybe that is yeah, maybe the real lesson is the friends we made along the way. Maybe the real podcast is the friends we made
Edits
along
we
the
kept doing along the way. Yeah.
way.
So your point is that every story is a cliche because there are only seven stories and you've heard all of them before.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you particularly look at two examples, right? Animation movies. Every animation movie is the same.
Every Pixar animation
And
movie is the same, yeah.
yeah. I think there was one meme also, no, which had this like animals had feelings, if toys had feelings, which is Toy Story, and then they go all the way
Monsters
to
had feelings, and then
yeah, Shrek, and then they go meta and if feelings had feelings, which
feelings.
is Inside Out, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
literally everything is the same plot. And I feel like even probably the biggest sort of masala nonsense of our times, superhero movies,
Yeah.
pretty much the same plot, right?
Yeah. But it's okay, I think, as long as stories are
Of
retold
course.
with a little bit of derivative, additional class that is added to them each time, right? I have to, at this
Yeah.
point, call out one of the best films I've watched in recent years. And shame on you, Tony, for not having yet watched Manjumel Boys, which is the most popular Malayalam film of it's the flavor of the season. And it's been doing really well in Tamil Nadu as well, because the movie is actually based on and inspired by a Tamil film called Guna, which came in the early 90s. It was a Kamal Haasan from the 90s. This movie, Manjumel Boys, is about a bunch of boys from Kerala, friends who go to this place called Guna Caves near Kodaikanal. Guna Caves gets its name from the fact that the film Guna in 1992, whatever, was shot in that place. One of the boys actually has an accident, and it's about what happens after that, right? And the movie is a tribute. It borrows from the original film, from the first film, and it also has this very famous song, which
Kanmani Anbod.
Kadalan
Kanmani Anboda Kadalan Nan Nan Eldum letter Chi Madal illa kadasi vechikalama ana kadidame irukatum adi
Kanmani Anboda Kadalan Nan Eldum kadidame
manidar unarndu kolla idu manida kadal alla அதையும் தாண்டி புனிதமானது
தாண்டி புனிதமானது
லான்ச் ஆனதையோ தெய்வமாக பண்ணா.
எனிவே, சோ ஆஸ் அ ரிசல்ட் திஸ் ஃபிலிம் இஸ் அ ஹியூஜ் ஹிட் இன் தமிழ்நாடு அஸ் வெல், அண்ட் இட்ஸ் பீன் அப்சல்யூட்லி செட்டிங் த பாக்ஸ் ஆஃபீஸ் ஆன் ஃபயர் இன் அ வே தட் ஒன்லி தமிழ் ஃபிலிம்ஸ் அண்ட் very rarely Hollywood films manage to. So big win for Kerala film industry, which continues to churn out some unbelievable stuff, even if they are operating with just seven stories, right? It's okay.
No, some interesting connect between, I would guess, the last Malayalam movie to set Tamil cinema on fire, right? Which is probably Premam, which also featured the song Kanmani Anboda Kadhalan Naan Ezhudhum Kadidhame at a very, very
Yes.
critical juncture, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best part of the movie, perhaps.
Yeah, and the director of that film also was a huge fan of Kamal Haasan. So, yeah,
Yep.
there you go. Game knows game, as they say.
Interesting.
So, it's okay if your stories are inspired by older stories, as long as you're improving upon them.
To be fair, almost all of human life is pretty much a cliché, right? That all of what people have lived is what the next generation lives as well. And the mistakes they make are the exact same ones that the next generation makes I would say, philosophical level, right? Human frailties haven't changed. Human frailties are a cliche.
Probably a comforting thought.
It's basically like Mario, and like at the end of each level, it's like, thanks, Mario, but your princess is in another castle, and you jump over turtles. It's
Have
turtles
some
on the
lasagna and keep jumping.
way. My next cliche is like a meta cliche, which is basically two men who are having a conversation feeling like it can be turned into a podcast, which is basically what we're doing
Yeah,
right
and it's not even funny because we recorded this exact words 20
now.
minutes back, and here we are
Yeah.
doing it one more time, actually recording it, because last time we did not. But it's also funny because only yesterday or day before yesterday, me and my friend Narendra Dodi put out another episode of our other podcast, and that episode was about the state of podcasting itself. So your words ring very true.
Genuinely, I feel like we've reached a point where content creation has exceeded content consumption, right?
Yeah.
It's just like a surfeit of podcasts out there. And if you are considering starting a podcast, couple of things, right? One is that you're not going to get too much of a listenership. And like Nitin mentioned,
good.
Like the editing process is actually like, if you find it therapeutic, good for you. But otherwise, it's going to be like a long haul. Yeah. Like I mentioned last time, the reason I like switched over from like open mics to podcasting was because A, it is more comfortable because, you know, no one's listening to you, so it doesn't matter. Secondly, it was that...
That's why I laughed.
Is that I don't like repeating the same material twice, right? I get bored with the same thing. On that note, let's move on.
On
to the
that
final
note... On that note, we move to our final cliche of the day. On that note, nobody is very clear about where this one originated from. Some people say it is, it comes from music, which seems to make sense, where you hit a certain note, you're happy, you're primed to sort of, you know, go away with, you know, good aftertaste. And on that note, you leave, right? So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But other people actually use it in the exact opposite connotation where, a conversation reaches a stage that is so uncomfortable that one party actually wants to leave that conversation. So they say, on that note, I'm out of here, right? We keep hearing it on podcasts where people actually just use it as a way to to end the podcast. Sometimes it's very abrupt. It doesn't make any sense because there actually was no real note that was struck. But people say, on that note, that has been episode, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think on that note is a very efficient cliche because just three syllables. And it's also not one of those cliches that is being used to embellish. You know, very often people just resort to cliches in the middle of their writing.
That's true. That's true.
Make their writing look better than it is. Like waxing eloquent or voracious reading. Mm. Right?
Voracious reading.
I've only seen voracious being used in one context, which is reading. Like it's like worm.
It's like in that sense, it's like cockles, right?
Yeah, it's like
warming warm the cockles of warm the cockles of my heart.
And a lot of this I blame the Hindu, which I unfortunately grew
keen
up.
Keen contest on the cards. Oh yeah.
Keen contest on the cards. 8 entered semifinals, quarterfinals. This is an actual headline. Eight entered quarterfinals is an actual headline which has been used. Yeah.
Lovely.
Mellifluous rendition of Carnatic vocals and so on.
Oof.
On that note, hoisted by Arun Pittard, without much ado, we shall bid
without
adieu.
Much ado. Yeah.
And what else? Repeat
we
this.
We shall bid adieu. Much ado about nothing. Yeah.
Much ado about nothing. And a fine segue into tonight where we shall sleep nicely.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Say bye, Tony.
See.
Gabriella, say bye, Tony.
Oh my God. We've essentially flattened out the layers of the lasagna. Made it thinner, right? Easier to digest in some senses.
Good.
Hopefully there is more meat in between the pasta. So, pasta la vista.
Baby.
Baby.